Well, at this time, I'd like to invite up our guest speaker, Howard Moore. Howard has had a long association with Bethesda Church as a missionary with Greater Europe Mission, and he was the Canadian director, I believe, for Greater Europe Mission. He also served as a missionary in France and has preached many times here at Bethesda Church, and I'm so grateful to him for coming and bringing to you what God has laid on his heart for us this morning. Here's Howard. I'm going to pray for Howard. Lord God, I thank you for my brother Howard. I thank you so much for his willingness and his faithfulness through his whole life to serve you. Lord God, I pray that you would empower him and give him your love, your heart for our people. And Lord, I thank you that you have been with him all through the week as he's prepared. And just continue that power and that anointing with him this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you. I invite you to turn to the scriptures and let's read together from the scriptures. You'll notice it's up on the screen. If you look in the Bible, if you look through in the Pew Bible, it even gives you the page. This is a very special passage. We get to sit in like a fly on the wall when Jesus is communicating with his followers, those 12, for the very last time. They're up in the upper room, very special place together. Jesus knows that it's soon that he's going to go to the cross. 3 days later, he'll rise from the dead. And then just a few days later, he will leave this world. And he's assuring his disciples. So let's enter into the reading of this passage with that in mind. Jesus says, John chapter 14, starting at verse 15, "If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor, or paraclete, to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he's the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him." Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me saying, I am going away and I'm coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of the world is coming. He has no hold on me, but the world must learn that I love the Father and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave. Wow. The last things that Jesus said to those men that he spent 3 years with. What a precious privilege we have to have this passage for us as believers and followers of Jesus as well. I'm so delighted to be here with you this morning and to be able to share this word with you, and just to mention a few things that are in this particular passage that I think are so precious. Yes, I've had a long connection with Bethesda. Now I look out and I see some people that I remember from years ago that were part of this congregation. This has been a special, special church to us. My wife and I, we live in Stonewall, Manitoba, just not too far from here, just up north. My wife was raised in Stonewall. I was raised in the Promised Land, Saskatchewan. And I came here to go to Bible College, Winnipeg Bible College. First year it was in Otterburn. I was coming to come to Winnipeg. I ended up in Otterburn because they moved that summer to Otterburn. And this is one of the first churches that I came to on a Sunday morning. And I do remember for a little period of time, you were gracious enough to allow me to work in Boys Brigade. And I remember being downstairs and being in Boys Brigade. But I had some relatives here. I had three aunts that were actually here. Two of them were unmarried. They lived together. And they were faithful in this church over the years. And I had the privilege of coming from time to time. Then it was when it was decided by God's grace that we were called to go to France. I was already an associate pastor in Stonewall because I had actually started there to minister to youth on weekends, ended up being the associate pastor there. But we sensed God was calling us to go to France. And that's a whole other story. I won't tell you about it. Another time we will. And by that time, we had our three children. We were living in Stonewall. We went over to France. But before we did, we went to different churches and shared about the calling of God on our lives, asking whether there would be some people who would be willing to join with us in prayer and financial gifts. And this church, as well as a number of individuals in this church, took on that responsibility and became partners with us in the ministry. We were about 20 years in France in ministering, a little bit in the Paris area, and then we moved up to the north of France, close to Dunkirk, in the city called Lille, and we were there and ministered. And then we moved on because the Canadian directors of Greater Europe Mission asked if I would become the new executive director. We moved to Oshawa, Ontario, which felt like in some ways a different country as well, although we know it's the same country. And we lived in Oshawa for 13 years. But we would come back from time to time. And when we did, we always appreciated the opportunity to be back here at Bethesda. And then in 2017, I stepped down from that position, feeling that it was time to give it to someone younger. And I moved out here for a while. I was the part-time representative for Greater Europe Mission, living in Stonewall. And then I gave up that responsibility a few years ago. The church asked if I would come on staff part-time ministering, particularly to the 55-plus. We don't call them seniors anymore because no one wants to be called a senior. So we say, okay, 55-plus, and away we go. And I've enjoyed my ministry out there. I still enjoy doing it. And I love being back because you know what? I don't know if there's any people here, but I've got farm in my blood. I was raised on the farm, and I actually wanted to be a farmer. I have another story about how God led me from not being a farmer. I wanted to be, with all my heart, I wanted to be a farmer. And my parents wanted me to be a farmer because my older brother It was clear he was moving on, and he became an accountant, and he enjoys working with figures. I love driving tractors, and but you know, I had a problem with asthma, and it became clear, and I didn't know exactly what I was going to do. If I wasn't going to be a farmer, I went to Bible college, and God just changed it all. Completely. But I got to tell you right now, I live in Stonewall. I have a daughter who has farm in her blood. I don't know, it's kind of passed through the genes, I guess. Anyway, she loved the farm. She ended up marrying a farmer. They farm 4 miles from Stonewall. And I'll tell you, I'm living paradise on earth. I get to pastor part time, and then I get to drive a tractor, and last night I was on a combine until about 11:30 last night, so if I look a little tired, it's because it's harvest time, and when it's harvest time, you go. You just go, go, go. The Lord has been gracious, giving wonderful weather the last few days, and we finished. We got done what needed to be done. There are other crops, but they're not quite ready yet. Sorry, that's a little bit of a background, but I'm just telling you a little bit about what's going on, and appreciate so much the opportunity to be here and share with you again. Well, as I say, this is a precious passage. And when I just think, if I had been sitting in there with those 12, what would I be thinking? What would I be feeling at that particular moment? I'm sure I'd be feeling, no, 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 Lord, you can't talk like that. You're not going to leave us. Surely you're not going to leave us. I mean, we've just got the wheels in motion. It just seems like things are starting to move. There's crowds of people coming by. They want to be with you each day. But Jesus knew exactly what was going on. And he had to prepare his disciples, because they were day by day growing to be more dependent on him. Now, you study Jesus working with his disciples as you read the stories of Jesus ministering to people. That's two sides. Jesus ministering to people, but when he ministered to people, he was often in the presence of his disciples. Why? He was preparing them. He was preparing them. I don't know how many times you have said this, but there have been times when I have said, boy, I wish I was there. I wish Jesus was right here with me, where I could see him, present with him. It must have been quite a privilege for him, for them to see. You know, that miracle that he performed. He took that, just that little basket of food, and he fed a crowd much greater than this. It would be like going to the Winnipeg Blue Bomber game almost. And he did a miracle like that. And I could be on the side just saying, yay, Jesus! He's our hero. He's our great master. And of course, they knew the Old Testament. They were growing to understand this could be him. This could be the one. And so the excitement that they were having, while at the same time it was quite clear that they had things to learn, there were times in which they tried to do some things that Jesus did, and it didn't work. And Jesus would have to teach them. Why not? So there was all of this going on, and then Jesus speaks to them these words. He says in verse 16, and I would imagine the disciples would have said, you know what, there's no need to pray this way. But he prayed this way. He says, I'm going to ask the Father, and he will give you another, and I'm going to use the word, the Greek word, which, of course, we don't have an English word for, but if you will allow me to use the Greek word, another paraclete to be with you forever. Thank you, Yuri, for the explanation you gave there. That was a great foundation. In fact, I always thought I would just come up and pray and close the service, because there was a lot to learn just by listening to what we heard through the children here. What is he talking about? Paraclete. Now, that word, that Greek word, is actually used in different places of the Bible, in the New Testament. And really, those that are translating it into English have a bit of a challenge as to how we should translate this. And I suggest that the reason that they have some difficulty is because there's a certain vagueness to this word, and it can mean different things, and they have to somehow choose which direction they're going to go. Because if you put the word counselor in there, what's the image that it gives to you? Some of you, maybe like me, have had a personal counselor. We've gone to see a counselor. It's a good thing. We need that. Someone who is committed to Christ, who is skilled in counseling, helps us. How does he help us, or she help us? Well, we can think of different ways. So we can go down that branch. I would like to suggest to you, if you'd like to turn in your Bibles, and by the way, I'm glad to see that a number of you have a Bible with you this morning. If you actually turn to 1 John chapter 2, verse 2. Actually, verse 1, sorry. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. My translation puts it this way: "My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. And if anyone does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one." I don't know what you have in your translation, but some translations have in there an advocate. An advocate. That's not a word that we use too often. Lawyer, let's just call it lawyer. Someone who is in a courtroom who speaks on our behalf. That's the same word. Paraclete. So they could have put counselor in there, but it becomes quite clear, maybe counselor is not the best word in there, especially the English word, because it talks about the fact that there's someone before the Father who's speaking on our behalf. So the word paraclete actually can mean a number of different things. But as the pastor said just earlier, what it really means is someone who just comes alongside of us, period. Now that's interesting. The image is someone who comes alongside of us. But notice in verse 16, he says, "I will give you another paraclete." Another paraclete. Now, when you think of another, means that there has to have been one there before. So when he's speaking to his disciples here, and he says there's another paraclete coming, my question would be, well, where's the first paraclete? And of course, it's really evident the disciples would have picked it up right away. The paraclete that has already been there is Jesus himself. So if we want to understand what it means that the Holy Spirit is our comforter or paraclete, someone who comes alongside, one of the ways to help us to understand is to reflect a little bit about what did Jesus do when he was on earth with his disciples. Because that's what Jesus is really saying. He's saying, listen, I know you guys are not willing to hear this, but I'm leaving. I'm leaving. But don't you worry. There's going to be somebody else that's going to come and be here, right here with you. Now, he won't be here physically, but he will be here. And as we see later on, He says he will not only be here in verse 17, he will be in you. So that's going to be a difference. But definitely there will be the presence of a paraclete. So what was it like for the disciples to have Jesus with them? Well, he was always close to them. He always was there to protect them, to care for them. He always looked after their needs. He always was providing for them everything they needed. And in some ways, we may be able to take that word paraclete and say what it really means is someone who helps. Now, in some ways, I hesitate using that word for paraclete because help in English is so broad. It can just mean so many different things. He's going to be a helper. Well, that's exactly what the Holy Spirit is. He's someone who is so close. He understands everything about us. He is totally committed to accomplishing what God wants to do in us and through us as we serve God. That's exactly what the Holy Spirit wants to do. Someone has said that the Holy Spirit is the neglected person of God. The pastor talked about God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. And there is a tendency for us to neglect the work of the Spirit in our lives. I don't know about you, but I'm challenged by this all the time. Because I love Jesus. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. I want to serve Him. I want to get to know Him better. I want to serve Him. God the Father. He's my Father. What a difference it makes in my identity. Who I am. I am a son of the Father. The Heavenly Father. But we also have the Spirit of God living in us. And really, it would maybe not be good for us to make too much of a distinction. This is God Himself living in us. The Holy Spirit living in us. So what does Jesus say in here that the Holy Spirit will do for us? What will He do to help us? Well, let's just look again at some of the verses and the concepts, and then we'll skip over to chapter 16, where He talks a bit more about the Spirit. The first thing He says about this Spirit is it's the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth. So one thing you can be assured of is the Spirit gives high priority to the truth. In this world where there is so much confusion about the truth, the Spirit of God is the one who leads us and directs us in the truth. And if you look at other passages, you find out that the Spirit of God works in line with the Word of God. So the basis on which we can understand the truth of God is for us to be focused on reading, listening to, studying, memorizing, meditating on the Word of God. And when we're doing that, the Spirit of God can be at work in our lives if we submit to Him and we acknowledge that He's the one who's present in our lives as we're in the Word, and He's the one who will work on that. As a matter of fact, let's skip over to chapter 16 in regard to that and come to verse 5. Now, this is Jesus again. Oh, I'm sorry. We're going to be in 15, verse 26. 15, verse 26, and then we'll move into 16. Here He talks again about the Holy Spirit. When the Paraclete comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. Who? Jesus. So the Spirit of God will testify about the Son of God, and it's the Father of God. You might say God the Father, who sends. They all work in harmony together for the accomplish what they want to accomplish. So he says that when the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he'll testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. So he's expecting them to also be involved in this. We get the privilege of joining in with what the Spirit and the Son and the Father are all working on. And that is making sure the world understands who God is and what he has done. All this I've told you so that you will not go astray. They will put you in the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he's offering a service to God. They will do such things because they've not known the Father or me. I've told you this so that when the time comes, you will remember that I warned you. I did not tell you this at first because I was with you. So he didn't want to overwhelm them. Then he comes to this. Now I'm going to him who sent me, yet none of you ask me, where are you going? Because I said these things, you are filled with grief, but I will tell you the truth. It is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. For when he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe me. In regard to righteousness, because I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when the Spirit, when he, the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He'll speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take them from what is mine and make it known to you. Man, do you get the idea that the Father and the Son and the Spirit, they're interacting together? Isn't it marvelous that we have a triune God? We have a triune God who show us how to work in harmony. How to work in harmony together. And Jesus is just pouring out his heart here, and he says, you know, the Father, he sent me, and I'm sending the Spirit, but the Father sends the Spirit. You know, it's just, they're all related together. God working to accomplish his work. And he says, come to the party. Join in the group. I want you as part of that. And by the way, I am sending the Spirit who is there to help you. He's there to help you. It's actually marvelous to understand what Jesus said. He says, you know what? I've accomplished my task, or I'm close to accomplishing, you know, one of the main things that he was going to do. By the way, it wasn't the only thing he was going to do, but it was one of the main things he's going to do, has still to come. But he already has done a lot before he went to the cross. He accomplished what God the Father wanted him to do. He was preparing everything. He was preparing the 12. He was getting them ready. And he's saying, I'll tell you what's going to happen. I'm going to the cross, but there's going to be someone, God the Spirit, who will come and he will live in you. And he will accomplish the task that needs to be done. That's what he's saying to them. But he says, you know what? Yeah, I've accomplished good. And they could have looked back over those 3 years of ministry and saw some marvelous things that was done by the hands of the Spirit of the Son of God. But he says, this is only the beginning. He says, when the Spirit comes, And he comes on you, God the Father will do mighty things through you. He invites them into the fellowship of the triune God, and then he says, I'm sending you out to pass this on. And I'm going to give you a helper, a paraclete that will help. I've got to say, the reason I hesitate using that word helper, although I think it is the best word, is because we have a tendency, and I believe this is one of our greatest struggles of Christians. Let me just say again, in the Christian life, I feel this is one of the greatest struggles, and I assume it is in your life, it is in mine, is that the Christian life is not possible without the work of the Spirit. So sometimes when we look at the Spirit of God as being a helper, we look at the Spirit of God as someone who is by our side, and when we're in trouble, we ask for help. So God's plan is, yes, you're saved by faith in what Jesus did on the cross. So if you invite Christ into your life, acknowledge your sin, repent, and trust in Jesus, that is the only way for you to be born again and have new life. We know that. That's a message we preach over and over again. It's so important. It's important to realize that the moment you do that, things have changed. Because God doesn't just pick you up and say, okay, I've taken you out of the mud and I put you on ground. Now away you go and you live your life. And if you have a problem, you call out to me. That is often what I start to think. I get into this pattern. Get up there and do it on your own. And that's not the reason you have a helper here. He's not like he's in a genie bottle and you just, I'm in trouble, so I rub it and he'll come out and he'll help you. I use this kind of as an illustration. I was thinking about it. When I was ministering in France, we would come back from time to time. That's why we had the opportunity to be here at Bethesda. About every 4 years, we'd come back and we would be here. I'd be here maybe two or three times in the course of a year before we would go back again. And when I was back, often we would live in Stonewall. I had a friend who was building houses. He's not anymore. He's retired. He's had so much arthritis problems, he can't do it. Anyway, his name is Randy. He's about my age, dear friend. And when I would come home, I would help him build houses. It was mainly basements, pouring concrete, shoveling, gravel. We didn't have machines to do it. We had to do it by hand often. And I remember those days. So I was helping Randy. Now I was a helper. Randy said, pick up a shovel. I'll pick up a shovel. He was great at doing the work himself. He didn't just tell me what to do. We worked together. But I helped him. I didn't say, okay, Randy, I think we should have more over there. Randy said, we should have more over there. And so I was helping him. He was in charge. That's not the way it is with the Holy Spirit. When I came back, for this last time in 2017, we took over the house that Karen grew up in. It was her parents' house. And we took it over, but it needed some renovations, okay? It was built in the 60s, and they lived in it. Marvelous home and everything. It was well built and everything, but it needed to be refurbished. And so I would call on Randy to help me. Now, I didn't say, Randy, you know what I think? I think we should tear down this wall and just open it wide open. So would you help me? You tear down that wall and do... No, I would go to Randy and say, Randy, I haven't got a clue how this should be done. Because I don't know if I tear down that wall, the whole thing's going to fall down. So I need you to help me. You come in, you're in charge, and I will actually do the helping because you're going to be the one who's in charge. And that's the way it is with the Spirit of God. The Lord does not say, you've got the Holy Spirit in your pocket, just pull him out when you need him. The Holy Spirit is God. He's our Lord. He serves Lord Jesus. You know, this the way they have it set up within the Trinity. And so as we are submitting ourselves to the Spirit, we are submitting ourselves to the Lord Jesus. They work in harmony together. So, I think he's saying, I've got somebody right beside you to help you. But really, I've got somebody beside you to take charge of your life, to submit to him. That's why if you want to see, and I know my time is up, but this is a precious passage for me that I keep coming back to when it relates to the Holy Spirit. I think the passages in Galatians chapter 5, 16 to 26 are the best. And if I may, I will just take a moment to read this. Notice what he says we are to do in relation to the Spirit. Galatians 5. Starting at verse 16. This is the best passage, I think, New Testament passage, out of what Jesus said in John. I still love that, what he said about the Spirit. But notice what he says about the Spirit here. This is Paul under the guidance of the Spirit of God. So I say, live by the Spirit. Now you can meditate for a while on what that means. Live by the Spirit. And you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. You see, what he's acknowledging is that you are a follower of Jesus, but you're not clear yet. Everything's not clearly eliminated yet. You've got that sinful nature. Oh, man, do I have that sinful nature? It popped up again this morning. It was evident. I had a little discussion with God on the way here. By the way, my wife is not here today because she got this massive headache again this morning, which she has every once in a while, and we have this big discussion, and I was a little late getting in time for prayer because we were having a discussion before we came, and she decided not to come just because of the headache. And I had a little conversation with God on the way because my attitude was not necessarily all that good this morning. Boy, that sinful nature just keeps popping back. Do not gratify the desires of the spirit, of the sinful nature, for the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit is what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. And then he gives another expression. So if you are led by the Spirit, there you go. The Spirit actually steps ahead. He walks alongside, but, you know, he's the one who's telling you to go the right or left or whatever. The acts of the sinful, but if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under law. The acts of the sinful nature, and then he gives a whole list of different ones. And then verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. He's not saying by this, try to love more. Try to have more peace. Certainly, he is ultimately saying that, but what he's really saying, it's the fruit of the Spirit. So pursue the leading of the Spirit. Pursue living by the Spirit, and the fruit will come forth. And then can I just pop down because of time to verse 25? Since we live by the Spirit, let's keep in step with the Spirit. Let's keep in step with the Spirit. Now, I don't know exactly what that means, keep in step. Maybe it's a military term and we're kind of marching together. I often think about it as when I was a kid back in Saskatchewan, of course, we used to get, remember those snowstorms we used to get? And there was so much snow. I trust that's the case this coming year. I'm looking for, you know, just lots of snow. And we would walk out to the farm, to the barn, because we had cows that we had to milk. And my father would walk on ahead, and I would try to walk in his steps. Keep in step with the Spirit, where the Spirit leads. I wish I had time, and I am not a master of this, but I wish I had time for us to move into what does it mean to be led by the Spirit? To keep in step with the Spirit. It's worth reflecting a lot on. It is in relation to the Word of God, but it means taking time to be silent with the Word of God and to invite the Spirit to speak to our hearts and lead us and guide us. It's not a simple mechanical thing. It's having our hearts open. My dear friends, we have a wonderful truth. We have a paraclete, a helper, who wants to work in our lives and transform us so that we look more and more like Jesus. So that next year, if I have the opportunity to be here next year with you, that actually you and I will look more like Jesus than we are today. That's what the Spirit of God wants to do in our lives. He has come into our lives to transform us, and that we might be used by Him to accomplish greater things than Jesus himself did when he was on earth. May that be our prayer. Father, I come to you right at this time and I thank you for giving to us yourself, living right within us, to take leadership because we need it. We need it, Lord. I struggle with wandering. Oh, Lord, I wander. I need your Spirit to convict me, to convince me, to direct me, to empower me. And I know that's the case with every believer that's here. We all need this more and more. Help us, Lord, to focus on this, that the Spirit of God may guide us, direct us according to the truth, the Word of God, but empower us to do great works for you. Lord, help us to trust you for greater things, all because of what you have done. In the name of Jesus, by the Spirit of God, I pray this. Amen.